Jesse. Good morning, Garden State Church. How we feeling this morning? Man, it's great to be together. I just want to thank all of the campus students that have served today in any way. Let's give it up for the campus ministry. You know, as a campus ministry, we've been studying out the book of Luke. And our theme has been fit life. We've been talking about how to get fit to build the kingdom of God. And today we're going to continue in that theme of His kingdom come. But if you don't know me, My name is Mark Persing. I'm a senior at the William Patterson University. And this is my last semester in school. And it's been awesome. I'm son of the amazing Mark and Margaret Persing sitting right here. It's kind of funny, like, at least once a month, someone's like, "That's your dad, the guy that's hanging up there? That's your mom?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's my parents." You should know them before you know me. But anyways, but it's great to be together this morning. And, you know, for the past couple years, I've served as an intern in the New Jersey campus ministry and also in the New York missions training program, which has been amazing. And I just love the campus ministry. I love you guys so much. You guys are a joy to do life with. You guys inspire me every week. You guys build my faith, and I couldn't imagine my life without you guys in the campus ministry. It's awesome. I just want to give it up for you guys for being amazing disciples. But you know, today's theme is His Kingdom Come. His Kingdom Come. And that's the title of our lesson today as we dive into Luke chapter 4 and 5. Shauna is going to be sharing as well today as part of the message. Shauna Gill, who helps lead our New Jersey campus ministry. And like I said, we've been studying out the book of Luke, and our theme scripture is Luke 9:62, when Jesus says, "No one who puts the hand to the plow is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So we've been setting out the kingdom of God together and really how we can be better servants within His kingdom. And how can we really build His kingdom together? And so today, let's dive in here. Turn over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We're going to pick up there today in Luke chapter 4. So, you know, here at Garden State Church, we love digging into the Bible. We love reading scripture. We love really digging in to see what Jesus, who He was, and how we can imitate Him. And this is an amazing passage that, you know, it's like every time I read it, I'm sure you guys can relate to this, you think you've sucked everything you can out of the scripture, but then you read it again and you get even more. And that's kind of been my experience reading this passage. It's more and more it keeps coming off the page of seeing what Jesus does here with Peter and these guys and his first time calling the disciples here. So we're going to pick up here in Luke chapter 4. Let's read here starting in verse 42. So it says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for Him. And when they came to where He was, they tried to keep Him from leaving them. But He said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.'" Amen? He says, "That is why I was sent." And so what we see here is that, you know, before this, Jesus just the day before healed a lot of people at Peter's mother's house. People are saying, "Wow, this guy has power." And they come to Him, they're like, "You need to stay here. We want to continue to be healed. Can you please stay in our town?" And Jesus looks at them, He's like, "No, I'm not staying. I'm going to keep moving." And He says, "Here's why. It's because there's good news. And it can't just stay here." And what is this good news? It's the kingdom of God. That's the good news. It's the kingdom of God. And he says a very important word here. He says, "I must." Right? Meaning it's not an option. I can't stay here. I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so we know that word gospel, right, in the Greek, euangelion, means good news, right? Have you heard the news? And so what we clearly see throughout the gospels, as Jesus sends out the 12 and the 72 and He does His ministry, He says, "Go tell people about the good news of the kingdom," right? That the kingdom has come near. This is what Jesus wanted people to know about. And we see in verse 43, it says that because this, or preaching the kingdom, this is why I was sent, right? Jesus is like, the kingdom of God, why I'm here in this town, this is why I was sent. And so what was Jesus's why? Why did he love people? Why did he travel from town to town and heal people and teach? Why did he live a sinless life and die for you and me? It's because he wanted God's kingdom to come. That's what Jesus's why was. Is I want God's reign. I want God's kingdom to come here to earth. And so I have a question for you this morning, church. What is your why? What is your why? Why do you do what you do as a Christian? And if someone were to ask you, you know, hey, why do you follow Jesus? Hey, I've known you for a little bit, bro or sis. Well, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you living such a counterculture, sacrificial life? What would you say to that question? If someone's asking, why are you doing this? You know, why do you read the Bible every day? Why do you share your faith? Why do you serve the poor? Why do you come here Sunday mornings? You know, if we're all being honest with ourselves, we can struggle with checklist Christianity. You know what I'm talking about? We can struggle with just going through the motions. And before we know it, it's like Satan's ripping out the heart of why we do what we do. And there's been times in the past where I haven't had a solid why, or my why has kind of gone off track. There's been times that I've shared my faith just because I wanted to see a group at Bible Talk and feel good about that. There's been times I've read my Bible just so I feel good about myself that I read my Bible that day. Can anyone relate to stuff like this, right? We struggle with checklist Christianity, but the question that we're asking here is why? Why do you do what you do? And you know, if you don't have a strong why, you won't be able to get to the what and the how. You're going to have a hard time getting to the what and the how. And if you don't have a strong why, you're really not going to be able to last as a Christian. And if you don't have a solid scriptural why, then really we're just practicing moralism. It's not about Jesus. It's not about the kingdom. It's just, hey, people have told me these are good things to do. I'm going to do them. But God, his kingdom is so much more than just being moral people. It's so much more than just being a good person. It's there's a kingdom that Jesus wants to come. Amen, church? And so Jesus's why was ushering in the kingdom of God. This is what drove him every day. This was his motivation. It was making God proud and making heaven, his kingdom, come to earth. And so I just want to ask you this morning, is the kingdom of God your why? As disciples of Jesus, the kingdom needs to be our why. And I just want to ask you, kind of, how much is the kingdom on your heart? How much do you think about how you can build the kingdom of God as you go through each week? How much is the kingdom on your heart? You know, to be honest, for most of my life, I didn't really understand fully this idea of the kingdom. You know, it's a pretty vast idea. And I didn't get why it was such a consistent theme throughout the Gospels as you're reading it. It's something we can't ignore. But for me, I just never took the time to really study out, what's this kingdom thing, right? You know, we see kingdom language from Genesis all the way to Revelation, right? It's this idea that God is going to reign again, just like he did in that Garden of Eden, that through Jesus, God is going to reign here again, right? Through us. And so if our why for being Christians isn't Jesus's why, the kingdom, then we're going to have a really hard time following him. Because the standard is not going to change. But if you're trying to live up to the standard of Jesus without Jesus's why and motivation, that's going to be harder than if you just had Jesus's why of, man, I got to help bring the kingdom. I got to know the kingdom. I got to know how to bring that in. And so those are kind of the two questions that we're trying to address this morning is, what is the kingdom? And what does it look like for his kingdom to come? Does that make sense, church? What is the kingdom? And what does it look like for his kingdom to come? So that's a good question to ask, right? If Jesus says he sends out, the disciples says preach the kingdom, if he says this is why he was sent, a good question to ask is, what is the kingdom of God, right? What is that? And so we don't obviously have a, you know, 3-4 hours today to do an extensive study on the kingdom of God. But a short answer is the kingdom of God is the reign of God in the lives of his people. It's the reign of God. It's the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. And it's not that you're some days letting him reign as king. It's all the time, right? It's God ruling over your life as king. It's letting Jesus call the shots in your life no matter what. And I think Matthew 6, Jesus really sums it up on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? It's a Hebraic kind of parallel statement. So the second sentence is just trying to say the first one a different way, right? So what does it look like for his kingdom to come? It means that his will needs to be done in my life. That's what Jesus is trying to say. And that's really the kingdom of God. It's making Jesus our king, and therefore we're going to experience his kingdom. We're going to experience his reign, which is awesome. And so, you know, as our brother Michael Burns puts it, he says, what does it mean for the kingdom to come? He says, it's when God's people do his will in the present age as though they were standing in God's very throne room. That's the kingdom. Imagine the light and life of the body of Christ if everything we did with the same zeal and obedience as though we were standing directly in the presence of the watching eye of the Almighty King. The kick in the gut is that we are in his presence right now. So the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns as king. But the good news is that Jesus is a perfect king. Jesus is a good king. He's an amazing father. He's an amazing friend. And he's a king that you can freely and fully submit yourself to without having to be nervous at all. He's a perfect king. You know, here in Luke chapter 5, we see someone make Jesus king. We see someone let Jesus call the shots in this example of what it looks like to make Jesus king and see his kingdom come. You guys want to read about it with me? Let's read here in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1 here. Amen. So it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep water and let down the nets for catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all day and night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. We'll stop there for now. So we see here, you know, Jesus asked Simon Peter to get in his boat to teach the people. And after Jesus finishes teaching the people, he commands Peter to let down the nets into the deep water. It's a simple command. It just says, let down the nets. And if you're Peter, you're like, no duh, dude. That's how you fish. You're like, are you kidding me, man? I've been fishing all night. And your big idea, Jesus, is let down the nets in the deep water. He's probably like, come on, man, what are you talking about? I know how to fish, but Jesus just tells him, let him down again into deep water, right? And, you know, maybe you're here today and you're kind of feeling like Peter. You're feeling like you've tried it all. Maybe you're really looking for some deep healing today, some purpose, some meaning, a mission. Maybe you don't even know why you're here today, but you're here, right? And I just want to encourage you that Peter can relate to you right here. Tried everything, and he's wondering, why is Jesus saying this? I just want you to know that Jesus hears you today where you're at. If you're feeling like, I don't know, I don't even know where to go in my life. I'm trying to get healing. I'm trying to find purpose. That Jesus hears you. And we see the solution here in this passage. You know, the solution, what Peter does here, is he calls Jesus Master. You catch that? He says, Jesus, Master. And even though Peter tried everything, he's probably frustrated at this point. What happens here is he says in verse 5, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. I'm not feeling it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But master, you're my master. I'll let down the nets, right? This is what it means to have Jesus as king, right? This is what it means to make Jesus Lord. It's taking Jesus at his word, even when you don't feel like it. Even when life doesn't make sense, even when times are confusing, it's this attitude of Jesus, you're a good king, you love me, and because you say so, I'm going to obey you. Amen? No matter what, this is lordship right here. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus master in your life right now? How's it going making Jesus Lord each day over your emotions, over what's going on in life? How's it going just letting Jesus be master and letting him call the shots? You know, are you seeking to build up your own kingdom and your career? Or are you seeking to help build Jesus' kingdom on earth? Because when you don't make Jesus your king, you won't experience his kingdom. You won't experience the goodness of his kingdom. And what we see happen next in this passage is something incredible. Really, we're about to see a miracle here. Or in other words, we're about to see his kingdom come. So let's continue reading here in verse 6. You guys with me? In verse 6, it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. We'll stop there for now. And so, this is an amazing moment. I mean, just imagine being Peter right here. The net breaks with the amount of fish that are caught. God shows up here, gives them even more fish than they needed. And the boats sink. I mean, they're standing in these boats and just sinking like, oh my gosh, look at all this fish. And I mean, Peter, in this moment, I kind of like imagining this moment like Jesus is just kind of standing there just smiling at Peter as he's just sinking into the water. And he's like, man, this dude's faith is about to be really built right here. And he's about to become my disciple. And just the joy of like, here we go. This is the beginning. And just looking at their faces like, oh my goodness, they've never seen a sight like that. And it says here that they were astonished. They were astonished at what Jesus did. And the truth is that God shows up, God moves when we take him at his word and we obey his commands. When you make Jesus Lord, when you let him call the shots, it might not always lead to an overflowing of blessings or what you want, but it will lead to what you need. He'll give you what you need. Jesus, he wants to give us what we need to grow, not just what we want. And sometimes you get both, right? But you know, what Peter needed here is he needed to get his faith built. He needed to trust in the master more. And Jesus provides an opportunity here for Peter to grow in his faith. So they're leaving this time. They're astonished. They're in awe. And don't you just kind of want that in your Christianity? Don't you just want to go through life and just be in awe of what God's doing? Don't you just want to, you know, as you're seeing people come to know Jesus, don't you just want to live in awe, right? You know, in Acts 2, it says they lived in wonder and awe, the church. But how's that going right now? Are you living in awe of Jesus? Are you living in astonishment of what he's doing in your life? Or maybe are you a little bored? Are you feeling that checklist Christianity? I think we need to know this morning that Jesus wants to astonish you. Jesus wants you to be in awe of what you're doing. And right now, I want to bring Shauna to come up and share about how Jesus has astonished her and through her making Jesus Lord in her life. So give it up for Shauna.
So before Jesus calls Peter, he states his purpose, which is to bring the good news of the kingdom of God. And ever since I've learned about Jesus through the scriptures, it's been good news. News that impacts my life every single day and demonstrates that life is full, rich, and so satisfying with Jesus. And as Peter is called to discipleship, Jesus tells him to let down his nets for a catch. Negating his better judgment, his opinion, his will, he follows through because of Jesus' word. And this is something we've all had to do in order to follow Jesus. I initially dropped my nets as a 20-year-old sophomore studying at Montclair State University. And after learning what a biblical disciple was, it was made very clear to me that I had some things to drop. Not physical nets, but anything that was preventing me from wholeheartedly following. And that included my opinions, my selfish ambition, my pride and desire to always put my best foot forward instead of my worst, my lack of transparency and vulnerability. And most importantly, I had to drop my way. For 20 years, I lived the way I wanted to, and for the very first time, I had to learn submission. I had to give up all control and surrender to Jesus' authority over my life. And although it was tough, it's the best decision I have ever made. The things we need to drop do not even compare to what we get to catch with Jesus. And God has completely changed the trajectory of my life. The good news that I had the privilege and honor to follow Jesus just shook up my world. It broke every cycle of everything I had ever known. And connecting to this good news to follow and let Jesus' kingdom come and not my own is something that I have to continually go back to. And that's not always easy for me. And anyone that knows me well knows that I'm a pretty emotional person. And honestly, when I get in my feelings, I have a hard time obeying Jesus. I've had to learn to make Jesus Lord, King, and Master of every area of my life, no matter how I feel, what I see, what I think, or what's going on. And as a woman and as a perfectionist, I want control. I want to know all the details before I invest. I want to know what to expect so I can prepare. I want to know where Jesus is driving this car so I can be at ease. But we know it doesn't work like that. And that's made me wrestle with the following question. Do I trust Jesus' leadership? Do I trust his yoke? Do I trust that submission to his authority is best for me? And that's very, very challenging for me. The hostility my emotions and feelings can bring into my heart make me want to get inward focused, take back control, and get back to building my kingdom instead of Jesus's. And that shows in how I want to use my time. It's stressing about my finances. Sally Mae is ruthless after college. My family, my marital status. Shout out to all the singles. You guys are my heroes. You know, making things all about me, 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 and not what Jesus desires. But what I love about Jesus is that he always proves to me that he has my best interest at heart. When I gather myself and I remember that following Jesus is good news and I recall the character of who I'm letting my nets down for, it makes surrender truly a joy. Peter saw a great miracle after he obeyed Jesus, and I believe that's true in our own lives. We see miracles happen when we choose to obey. And when I've chosen to get out of my head and outward focus, God has truly astounded me. I've seen God accomplish things through me that honestly just make no sense at all. I've gotten to see a chain reaction of women from the world become Christians in our campus ministry. Some of you may not know this, but Genesis and Leah were the ones that reached out to me on campus when they were just dating. And 4 months later, I became a disciple. The following semester, Chelsea and I were on campus together and shared our faith with a girl named Desiree, and she became a Christian. I had no idea that this random girl would become one of my best friends in life. And after Desiree was baptized, Eden saw that she posted that on Facebook, and she's like, I want to study the Bible. I want to get baptized. So we got to study the Bible with Eden, and Eden became a Christian, and she's one of my best friends too. Eden then reached out to her childhood best friend named Marie, and we got to study the Bible, and Marie became a Christian. The next semester, Marie reached out to her roommate, Elna, and Elna studied the Bible and became a Christian a few months after her. Then Marie reached out to Shakira. Shakira didn't want to come to Bible talk by herself, so she dragged along Onifa with her, and both of them became Christians just a few months apart. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. These girls are irreplaceable parts of our campus ministry, and all of the women in our campus ministry are just truly astonishing. The reasons why they are here in this room is because of Jesus. And I've seen God build our New Jersey campus ministry numerically, but more importantly in faith, that God wants to use our campuses to reach all nations and to help people know God that did not have this growing up, and their lives have been changed forever. I love the calling to discipleship and to make Jesus' kingdom come because it gives us purpose. We have something worth living for, worth fighting for, and surely worth dying for.
Amen. Thank you, Shauna, for sharing your life. Isn't that inspiring? You know, God works through our obedience. Right? When we decide to be obedient, God does miracles. God uses us. But you know what's crazy to me about this passage that I've been thinking about is it's an amazing faith-building moment. They leave astonished. But it all could have been very different if Peter didn't just obey. If Peter didn't just let down the nets and say, because you say so, he might even stop fishing. I'm just giving up. But that's a powerful image right there. The fact this one decision, not only did it lead him to be astonished, but all the other fishermen with him. And then they went and followed Jesus. So if he didn't let down the nets, the nets would have never been filled, is the point. And so I just want to ask you, as Shauna was sharing, are you letting down your nets in your life right now? What does it look like for you right now to take Jesus at his word, to trust him, and to let down your nets? What things do you need to just let go of and to let God take back control? What things do you just need to be obedient and let Jesus be Lord again in your life? You know, maybe it's that coworker or that friend that you see each week that you're kind of giving into fear and not asking them about Jesus or about studying the Bible. Maybe it's making Jesus Lord and just dropping those nets with your friend or at your workplace. Teens, maybe it's standing up at school for what's right, even if you look weird in your high school. Maybe it's standing up for Jesus, even though none of your friends are. I can relate to that, being a teen disciple alone in high school. But maybe that's it, campus. Maybe it's denying yourself and seeking to do your best in school for the glory of God, even with a busy schedule, but seeking just to put God first. To take Jesus at his word and to work for him wholeheartedly. I don't know what it is for you this morning, what that net is. Maybe it's a chronic sin that you just have not been open about. Maybe it's something that's just been a thorn in your side or maybe it's a pride that you just haven't let people into your life to really get help about that. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but I think it's important to think about what these things are and to write them down. And really think about, how am I going to let Jesus heal this area of my life? Let him be king and let him heal me. I just want you to think about what that is for you. What nets you need to drop, what sin you need to give up, and just say no. Just say no. You know, Jesus is really saying to us this morning, let down the nets. Trust me. I'm with you. I want to be with you. I want to do life with you. And really, if we're going to change New Jersey, this amazing Garden State, we each, every day, individually and communally, we got to all let down our nets. Amen? If we're going to change the world, if we're going to heal our broken communities, we got to let his kingdom come. We need more of his kingdom, not more of our kingdom. We need more Jesus, not more of us and our opinions and ideas. The way the world's going is opinions, ideas, you know, and what the world wants to do. But Jesus says, just make me king and it's going to get better. Just let me be king of your life. You know, healing and change in this dark world can only come through self-sacrifice and self-denial. That's the truth. Jesus established his kingdom on earth through hard, sacrificial love. That's how he established his kingdom. That's how he did it. So what makes us think that we're going to bring his kingdom any other way? From self-denial, self-sacrifice, and really taking up our cross each day. And can I be real this morning? This is this is hard. This is hard, right? We can't sugarcoat this call that Jesus has here. This is hard, right? Following Jesus is no joke. He's calling us to be counterculture, to be revolutionaries. But it's so worth it, church. It's so worth it. On the other side, following Jesus, it changes things. It changes families. It changes communities, our workplaces. It changes our world when we just decide to let Jesus be king. And Jesus says, you were made for this. This is what I made you for. You were made for greatness. You weren't just made to call the shots in your own life. That's what happened in the garden. They said, no, I want to call my shots and not trust in God. That's our human condition. You know, as we come in for a landing here, I just want to finish reading here this kind of last verse in the passage in verse 10 and 11. It's an amazing moment here. It says, second part of verse 10, it says, then Jesus said to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on a shore, left everything, and followed him. Left everything and followed him. Imagine just that powerful image right there. This is all they've known. They've been fishermen, and this guy Jesus comes into town, and they go into the water, they get their boats, they just pull them up on the shore, they throw their nets back in the boat, and as they're looking at their boats, it's kind of a symbol of everything they've ever known. And they just leave it behind. Not knowing that 2,000 years later, we'd be sitting down talking about this day. They had no idea how God was going to use them, but their obedience is why we're here right now. Talk about an impact. You know, really when we think about it, the world is the way it is because Jesus is not king. Because Jesus isn't calling the shots in people's lives. Why do we have hate in the world? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have division? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have violence? Because Jesus is not king. Why do we have racism and prejudice? Because God is not king. And you know, maybe you're here today and you've really yet to let Jesus be your king. You've yet to really study out who he is and get to know him. But my question to you this morning is, why not make Jesus your king? Why not let him take control? Why not get to know him and trust him? I mean, the world's not getting any better doing it our way. So why not let Jesus just do it and show you how he wants to do life with you? Amen? Because he's such a good king. He's such a good friend. He will love you more than you could ever love yourself. He will care about you more than you could ever care about yourself. We should be able to just let go and willingly say, Jesus, take control. Take control of my life. This right here in verse 11, leaving everything behind, this is discipleship at its core, is it not? This is discipleship. Leaving everything behind. You know, it's an honor to follow Jesus. You know, we don't have to come here Sunday morning. We don't have to share our faith. We don't have to read our Bibles. We get to follow Jesus. We get to follow this man that wants to heal your heart, give you purpose, give you meaning, give you a mission that people are dying for. We get to follow Jesus. And we're about to sing this song as we close out called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And the worship team, you guys can start coming up. I have decided to follow Jesus. And for the disciples here in the room, I want you to think about the day that you made Jesus Lord of your life. I want you to think about the day where you decided I'm handing it over to Jesus. And I want you to think about what that time in your life was like, what God was doing, and what that really meant. You know, do you remember the joy? Do you remember just the gratitude you had for being saved? From going to the light to the dark and knowing also that, wow, life was really about to get different. Life was about to get a whole lot crazier knowing that you're following this revolutionary of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that life is still going to get really different When we decide to follow Jesus, things are going to change. You're going to have to drop the nets. You're going to have to say no to sin. So let's do that together. Amen? Even if times are getting hard and you're feeling like no one in your family wants to get to know Jesus, you have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? And even if at your workplace you feel like no one wants to get to know God, no one wants to be my friend, you've decided to follow Jesus. Amen? Maybe you're feeling just emotionally out of it or suffering with anxiety or depression and you're really battling just to stick it out. Just remember that you've decided to follow Jesus. He's going to heal you. Amen? So let's really sing this song like we mean it. Let's really sing this song, and as you're singing this, reflect on that day where you decided to follow Jesus. Let's let down the nets. Let's become more astonished and in awe of what Jesus has done. And let's go be in awe this week. Amen, church? Amen. Let's sing together.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I